This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
To God for making me an atheist.
That was comedian Ricky Gervais, by the way. That's his now infamous concluding remarks at the Golden Globe event last month. And hello to all you godless atheists, agnostics, or heathens, whatever you like to call yourselves. At the Freedom From Religion Foundation, we like to say we don't care what you call yourself, we all disbelieve in the same God. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. We all disbelieve in the same God. This is the weekend of February 5 and 6. Did I say that right? February 5 and 6, 2011.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin, airing also in several other cities across the nation and podcasting everywhere.
And this past week, as you know, the Midwest was hit by a strong blizzard, a strong storm. Boy, are my muscles getting strong from shoveling snow out in front of our house. But we can at least be comforted by the fact that snow does not come from God. Snow is natural. And you know how we can prove that snow isn't from God?
How do we know that, Dan?
Because he shall reign forever and ever.
Okay, well, that's snow joke. And the theme of today's show is not snow. It's religion in the military. And really, religion out of control in the military. We will be joined in a few minutes by FFRF's staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, who will talk about several major complaints by FFRF over Christian missionizing by military authorities. And then on the second half of Free Thought Radio, to continue that theme, we will talk with Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation about that group's new lawsuit in Colorado against the Air Force Academy's upcoming National Prayer Luncheon.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're a group of atheists and agnostics who work to keep state and church separate and to educate the public about the views of non-believers. And of course, some of the news deals with the military, which we'll hear about later. But now a little bit of other news.
It is time for that infamous National Prayer Breakfast. It occurred Thursday, February 3rd, and it's put on by the Notorious Family. It's a stealth Christian right evangelical group, and they charge over $600 per prayer breakfast, and they bring in leaders, politicians from all over the world. And of course, one very important U.S. politician.
It's very disappointing that once again, President Obama attended this private religious event, and he gave a prayer to, quote, walk closer with God, to vouch for knowing Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, to say that he needs the Lord's strength to meet the challenges of his office, and even he asked to give me patience as I watch Malia go to her first dance where there will be boys.
And blah, blah, blah. Well, here's about a minute of Obama's prayer.
It's useful to go back to Scripture to remind ourselves that none of us has all the answers. None of us, no matter what our political party or our station in life. The full breadth of human knowledge is like a grain of sand in God's hands. And there are some mysteries in this world we cannot fully comprehend. As it's written in Job, God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understandings. And I pray for this wisdom every day. I pray that God will show me and all of us the limits of our understanding. That such reminders of our shared hopes and our shared dreams and our shared limitations as children of God will reveal a way forward that we can travel together.
Well, scriptures sure don't have the answers, and when those answers come, they won't come through prayer. They're going to come through human work, achievement, scientific inquiry, not closing our eyes and stopping our ears and asking some force we don't even know exists to figure out the answers for us. So that's kind of disappointing.
Or to thank this unknown force for helping us win some kind of an award. We started the show with a Ricky Gervais clip. He's the comedian, the writer, the filmmaker. He was in The Invention of Lying, which we talked about on the show a few weeks ago, which was a very strongly free-thinking movie. In January, he emceed the Golden Globes TV and Film Awards, and he ended his emceeing with this irreverent remark.
Thanks to everyone in the room for being good sports. Thanks to NBC. Thanks to Hollywood Foreign Press. Thank you for watching at home. And thank you to God for making me an atheist. Thank you.
And he got into a lot of hot water, so much so that CNN interviewed him, and we have his response on that.
If you're a believer in God, if you're a Christian, as many tens of millions in America are, you could see you as poking fun at their religion.
Not at all. When someone thanks God, I don't get offended. How many people thank God every time they say thank God? I don't get offended.
But you must be aware that a lot of people in America would potentially find that offensive.
What, because I'm saying I don't believe in God?
Yeah, because you're kind of mocking them, you know.
No, I'm not. I'm not mocking them. People's beliefs aren't my concern at all. I certainly don't differentiate between religions either. I look at all religions the same.
And then his comments about how can you be good if you don't believe in a God?
I'm not a Christian, but I live my life in a good way. And some people say, well, who says what's good is? Well, do you know what? I do. I'm good to people because it's the way I want to be treated. And I don't believe I'll be rewarded in heaven, but I do believe...
What do you think will happen to you?
I'll be rewarded now.
So were his remarks at the Golden Globe ceremony disrespectful to religious people?
I wasn't being disrespectful, but I think I have the right to say I'm not a believer in God, just like everyone has the right to believe in God.
Well, there you have it, and... So now we want to switch gears completely and welcome onto the program Patrick Elliott, who is our newest staff attorney, FFRF's second staff attorney. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Happy to be here again.
And we are going to talk about three major complaints that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has made concerning religion in the military. And I think we have time to do justice in the next 2 minutes or so to our complaint about the naval prayer. You want to tell us what that's about?
Sure. This isn't the first complaint we've had about prayers on Navy ships. This fall, we had been contacted by a service member who's on the USS Abraham Lincoln, who informed us, and you know, he's a non-believer, and he informed us what the normal practice was, which is at night, I believe it was at around 9 o'clock, there's an announcement that's broadcast across the whole ship, including service members' private staterooms. As well as on their TVs, if they're watching TV, it goes and says standby for the evening prayer, and then
so they can't avoid it, huh?
It's unavoidable, there's really no way to escape it for somebody who doesn't want to listen to prayer, who doesn't believe in prayer, which happens to be there. Happened to be a number of people on the ship apparently, because there's a group of atheists and agnostics that meet together on the ship. It's huge. I don't know how many service members are on it now, but there might be 5,000 or 6,000 people.
Wow.
That are on the Abraham Lincoln. And this is just one example. This happens on a number of ships, we're told.
Now, we've written and they won't do anything about it.
We received a response from an attorney the foundation wrote to the Secretary of the Navy, along with a number of other groups. There's a large number of groups who really found this to be a problem. And the foundation sent a joint letter to the Secretary of the Navy.
Which you drafted.
Which I helped with. Because there's definitely some real legal concerns. There's really, this goes beyond, any type of facilitation that the Navy might do for, accommodation for religious beliefs. Here you've got, people are really coerced into having to participate in it, whether they like it or not. And that's really what we objected to.
And until we can get someone coming forward who is in a position to sue, we're sort of stuck right now.
Yeah, until somebody challenges it legally. I mean,
we're willing to go to court if we get that person. Now we're going to come back. I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker, talking with Patrick Elliott, FFRF staff attorney, and we are going to come back and talk about our complaint about Rock the Fort, which was an evangelical Billy Graham event at Fort Bragg, and a so-called spiritual fitness evaluation that all the members of the, all soldiers are now given. So we'll be back to talk about this military complaint, and then on the second half of Free Thought Radio with Mikey Weinstein about their complaint in, at the Air Force Academy.
This is Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come tumbling down.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're fighting the battle of church and state. We are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we're back with our guest, the Freedom From Religion Foundation staff attorney, Patrick Elliott.
And we're talking with Patrick about major problems with religion in the military. We talked about mandatory listening to prayer on naval ships in the first segment. And we're going to talk with you now, Patrick, about two complaints. One was at Fort Bragg, the so-called Rock the Fort, Billy Graham evangelical event, and then the new spiritual fitness. And so what happened at Fort Bragg?
This fall, on September 25th, the Fort Bragg, which is in North Carolina, the Religious Support Office joined up with the Billy Graham Evangelical Association and put on a very large evangelical festival right on the fort grounds. In doing so, they needed a large amount of support from the command and from various departments on Fort Bragg to do this. So that's one thing that we've been investigating over the last several months to try to learn more about what exactly happened. At the time, we did complain to the commanding general on Fort Bragg, and we received a prompt response that in order to defend it, he had to say, given certain Department of Defense regulations, he had to say, we would provide the same type of support to another group should they want to do this.
Was that financial support too?
Well,
he didn't go into detail.
He just said that they would provide the same type of
same
support.
Type.
So,
so one of the soldiers on at Fort Bragg, and we can't name him, but he's going ahead with a what's it called? The
Rock Beyond Belief. I believe he can be named. He's okay. Just he's just not a spokesman for the military.
And so he's going to he's planning something in April, and he's invited you, Dan, and a bunch of other Free Thought.
What it's called Rock
leaders and authors and
in order to test their claim that it's open to all
and Richard
groups.
Dawkins. But so you went further after we got this non-response. You wrote a FOIA, a Freedom of
Information
Act request, and you got a response back. What was it, 2 weeks ago?
January 10th or 11th, I think we finally got a response on that. We made it October 5th, so it took quite
wow.
a while
yes
to get
and,
anything.
And so tell us what you found out.
Well, there's a number of documents that we ended up receiving. I think most of them they're all available on the FFRF website. But the major thing we found out was just the level of support that was given and the amount of money that was spent.
Although these were very bad, this was an incomplete response, and we couldn't quite figure out where the money came from. So it appeared to be Army money.
It's definitely public money. It's not clear what fund that it came from.
So whether it might have come from a chaplaincy fund or whether it came from the Army outright.
Exactly, or another fund. So we have since filed an appeal to try to get more documents because the only documents we got were from the Religious Support Office.
So it was over $50,000 that they showed us what they spent money for, and tell us what some of that money went for.
I mean, there's they're pretty extravagant expenditures. They had hotel rooms for 29 guests that totaled, I think, over almost $7,000 or around there to house people that were putting on. You know, this is guests and musical artists and whatnot. Meals that was totaled thousands of dollars.
They bought DVDs from the Billy Graham Evangelical Society.
Yeah, as well as
and there was a very expensive coffee for local pastors.
Yeah, and all of that was leading up to this event. I mean, they coordinated with all these local churches and spent money on you know, getting people revved up for this evangelical event that they were going to put on.
And these documents appeared to show that most of the work, the legwork, organizing was being done by Fort Bragg and only a little bit by the Billy Graham Evangelicals.
From the documents that we've seen so far, it looks like Billy Graham Evangelical Association, they paid for travel for the artists, so they paid for the artists. Other than that, it looks like at some degree the Fort Bragg was involved with putting this on it.
And then tell us about the costs they did not respond to, which were the personnel costs and the Golden Parish. Is it called Golden?
The Golden Knights Paratroopers.
Golden Knights Paratroopers.
Well, there's substantial personnel costs involved. And we, at least, you know, in the documents it says the security costs were estimated to be about $29,000. We don't know what was actually, you know, what the actual amount spent was.
But they didn't include that in the over $50,000.
Yeah, those were just purchases that were in the $50,000. There's also, you know, the Golden Knight Paratroopers performing for this event is obviously going to be something that was very
expensive.
The other thing is, you know, there's two units that were providing manual labor and support for this over a 6-day period, and that was 20 soldiers and several officers, as well as all the other departments that had to coordinate and sign off on this and promote it. So there was really a high degree of support from different departments at Fort Bragg other than religious support.
Now, that brings us to the spiritual fitness huge issue that we have with the military that came up in what they did with this. There were spiritual fitness events at this Rock the Fort, and we have found out and taken complaints about spiritual fitness inventory. It's actually a questionnaire that you have to take online if you're a soldier. So what's going on there?
Yeah, well, the way Rock the Fort ties into this a little bit, too, is just that event in the correspondence, they call it, you know, part of their biblical spiritual resiliency, which ties into the larger Army program, the spiritual fitness. The questionnaire you talk about, is that it's mandatory for soldiers, and it's called the Global Assessment Test. Some of the questions I have, some of the questions that
let's read some of them.
Let me see here. There are more questions than we originally thought. For instance, one of them says, I often find comfort in my religion or spiritual beliefs. In difficult times, I pray or meditate. I am a spiritual person. My life has lasting meaning. I attend religious services. These are some of the questions that are on that questionnaire. And soldiers, if they they get a low score. I mean, they're compared relatively to, you know, their emotional fitness or other things. And it shows up and says, you have low spiritual fitness. Soldiers are told this.
Now, this is the part that gets me, because the underlying, we believe the underlying, one of the reasons for this, besides just promoting religion, it's under the auspices of, because there's a high suicide rate in the military. So some of them are saying this is to assess
meaning in life or purpose.
Well,
so then the
people who get the low fitness score, they're told things like spiritual fitness is an area of possible difficulty for you. You may lack a sense of meaning and purpose in your life. At times it is hard for you to make sense of what is happening to you. You may not feel connected, blah, 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 making you feel terrible. I mean, so this is really ironic.
And then you're directed to the modules, the training modules, which soldiers go through online, and tells you all these different things you can do to be a spiritual person. While it looks like the Army has tried to make efforts to make this appear not to be religious, there are tons of religious promotion involved with it, including all of the imagery. There's always soldiers praying together.
So, well, thank you for all your work on this. We are pursuing it. We've been talking with Patrick Elliott.
And he'll stay on the show.
Staff attorney. He'll stay with us. I'm Annie Lorigalo, Dan Barker. We're about to bring on Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation to talk about their new lawsuit about religion at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. So stay tuned. It's sort of permeating our military, and we're fighting it, and you can find out more about it in a couple minutes.
Hi, my name is Bob Collins. I'm from Spring Lake, Michigan, on the other side of the lake from Chicago here, and I'm pleased to be on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're talking about religion in the military. We also have in the studio with us our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott. And on the phone with us from New Mexico, Mikey Weinstein, who's the president of MRFF, not FFRF. MRFF is Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Mikey.
Thanks, guys. Of course, it's always great to be here. We feel like we're with family when we're talking with you guys. Everybody thinks we're you anyway.
Well, we're very glad to have you back. And for people who haven't heard you on this show before, you're an attorney. You have had long service in the military. You used to work in the Republican White House. Very interesting background. And now you have founded Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And this week you filed a new lawsuit. Can you tell us what it's about?
Yes, we are trying to stop, because of its blatant unconstitutionality, the National Prayer Breakfast that the U.S. Air Force Academy, as a command entity itself, is sponsoring on February 10th, and bringing in a raging dominionist fundamentalist Christian by the name of Lieutenant Klebe McCleary, who's spoken thousands of times. We couldn't care less about that. It's not, we don't care about his war record, which is clearly wonderful. This is about his message of fundamentalist Christian triumphalism, exclusivity, and supremacy. And so we've gone into federal court in Denver with probably the top constitutional litigator in the state, the same guy that handled Balloon Boy and Ward Churchill and others, David Lane and his law firm, his partner, Mr. Kilmer. And we're trying to stop this. We have five co-plaintiffs. We have four of them are John Does for fear of reprisal. They're faculty members at the Air Force Academy. And interestingly enough, the fifth faculty member and our client is on the record with his name, and he's an evangelical Christian. How about that?
Wow. Well, good for him. And yep. So none of these are students, because this isn't actually...
Or cadets.
Cadets. We don't say students. No,
Sorry.
No. This is the Academy first started saying that cadets were not invited. Of course, we can show you the hard copy of emails where, they were invited. And despite the Academy's protestations to the contrary, notwithstanding that this is optional, when your military commander makes it clear that you don't have to be there, you know, but... we certainly would hope that you would consider coming.
Who's putting this on? Who's putting on this breakfast?
Yeah, it's actually the Air Force Academy. The defendant is Lieutenant General. That means three-star general, Michael Gould. We refer to him as General Ghoul. And we believe his spokesperson on this is Lieutenant Colonel John Bryan, or as we refer to him, Lieutenant Colonel John Lyon, and because that's what we think he's doing. So at this point, they have a whole list of things to try to argue when they tell the media all the time. It's optional. Cadets aren't invited. No one has to be there. We're not going to take names. Our response is very simple. We just have a five-word response to Lieutenant General Gould and his administration there, and that's simply, tell it to the judge. We'll see you in court.
And and you're seeking an injunction to try to stop the whole thing.
Preliminary injunction to stop it. And as I said, we're prepared to testify. And literally, as we speak now, we're waiting to get the word whether it'll be our lawyers want it to be on Friday, February 5th, and the Justice Department, of course, represents the Academy, and that means the U.S. Attorney's Office in Denver, in Colorado. They want it to be on Monday. The event is actually on Wednesday, so it's essentially an emergent legal proceeding. We have to show that there's irreparable harm, likelihood that we will succeed on the merits, et cetera, et cetera. It'll be very interesting to see what Judge Crabb's opinion, if that has any effect here. We have a very good judge in this case, Judge Arguello, and so we'll see what happens. Obviously, this is not the National Day of Prayer. That's, of course, its antecedents come from Billy Graham and the Cold War. This, of course, is the National Prayer Breakfast or Lunch, and this is that season. It's February now.
Its
antecedents come from the family, you know, Jeff Charlotte's fame.
Mm-hmm. And then, which was just held. And now, this is filed in federal court in Colorado Springs?
No, in Denver.
In Denver.
Correct. About an hour north of Colorado Springs.
And then could you talk a little bit more about what is got a very unusual name, McCleary?
He has one arm and one eye. I mean, he looks, and he wears his uniform, even if he's giving pitches for insurance companies. We've been able to determine that he violates federal law and DOD regulations, Department of Defense regulations, when he wears the uniform. No one says anything about it. Having high morals means nothing. He often says, I was on my way to hell with high morals. In other words, you could be having, you could be a pedophile, a serial pedophile, and those morals don't even exist. But if you accept Lieutenant Klebe McCleary's fundamentalist version of weaponized Christianity, you're good to go.
Now, tell
on the
us-
other hand, you could be a pristine, you know, you could be father or mother of the year. You could be the most outstanding citizen in the world. You, for instance, an atheist, agnostic, or anybody else who's a Christian that does not measure up to his, you know, when he puts his calipers on you to judge whether you're the right type of Christian. And that means nothing because, again, he almost went to hell with high morals himself, as he's proud of saying.
Now, at his website, I think that what caught your eye and everybody's eye was that he said that to be a Marine, how did he put it, to be a Marine?
USMC stands for U.S. Marine for Christ, he says. And but I should also mention, we represent 222 staff at the Academy on this. 217 were too petrified to come forward. Four are coming forward as Does, John Does, 1 through 4. And we have one who's on the record who, again, ironically is, and to this person's credit, Dr. David Mullen, truly an American hero. Is an evangelical Christian himself.
And what does he teach at the Academy?
Economics.
And so he was willing to go on the record. That's pretty cool.
He is on the record.
And what's the response to date on this? Creating a great stir, probably.
I think it's fair to say the Academy is running around trying to figure out who the Does are. Ironically, the Academy Board of Visitors meets this weekend, so that'll be interesting. I'm sure they don't like having to be dragged into court. That's the way it goes. This is, you know, we're at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, we're not civil rights activists, we're civil rights fighters. So this is a blood sport. It's a very difficult business. It requires you to have to, we have to absorb a lot of denigration. You guys know all about this at FFRF, and we get a lot of death threats, and we just deal with it because we're not going to stop. See, the majority doesn't have to worry about being represented because they're the majority. That was the whole purpose of the Bill of Rights, of course, right, is that it was not passed for the convenience of the majority, but to protect the minority historically from the tyranny of the majority. So in this instance, now, by the way, and Patrick, I'm sure you know this, under the Hastings case, you know, if this was a luncheon that was being sponsored by the community chapel at the Academy or by a cadet group, the cadet, young Protestants club or something like that, it'd be a totally different story. But this is because it's under the imprimatur of a total control and the aegis of the Air Force Academy itself, with its symbol, its logos, the commanders is all coming down from the 10th Air Base Wing, which is a subordinate command unit at the Academy. We put together an armada of people, which we're proud to say included FFRF. Annie wrote a fabulous letter in to help support what we're doing here. The Colorado Springs Gazette, head of the editorial board, some Cretan named Wayne Laugesen, wrote an editorial, I think, yesterday indicating that, once again, that the shopworn indicator of fundamentalist Christianity, that separation of church and state, that's a myth, like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, which is great, even if you want to argue that it's not there. But as our lawyer wrote, you know, if you look in the Constitution, you won't find the words handgun or abortion or privacy. It also doesn't say, hey, we're not doing slavery anymore. I mean, the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, right, Patrick and Dan and Annie Laurie? And it doesn't say no more slavery. So the fact that it doesn't textually reference something in there, we have something called case law and stare decisis that's been around for a long time. And we're dealing with people that are not terribly bright or well-schooled, and they don't think for themselves, because with fundamentalist Christianity, it's a dogma and an ideology, and ideologues, you know, their ideology thinks for them.
Well, now you we know that we're not getting editorial support from the Colorado Springs Gazette. But
you think?
But you are getting a lot of, I mean, there's so much religion in the military. You are hearing an outcry, I know, all the time, as we are, against it. And kudos to you for taking this to court. It's very hard these days to, the courthouse doors are being slammed shut. But what do you hope to achieve from this lawsuit?
Well, I hope to achieve the same thing that FFRF did with the wonderful Judge Crabb with regard to this twisted concept of the National Day of Prayer. I know it sounds wonderful. What's the big deal? We just pray. In fact, you know, I pray three times a day. I'm not sure it's going anywhere at all. You know, but it's very different when you're mixing and conflating a particular religious doctrine, in this case, fundamentalist Christianity, with our military might and with the incredible power, prestige, and financial heft of our government. See, that becomes a theocracy, and what we're fighting at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation is simply this. We have a fanatical religiosity, and again, it's fundamentalist Christianity, not Wahhabist Islam, but the flip side of that, mixed in with actual weapons of mass destruction, mixed in with a tortured, misguided sense of patriotism, total abrogation of the oath that everybody swears in the military to support and defend the Constitution, completely unfettered access, and a complete dearth of any restraint, oversight, and supervision. So we're fighting what's called, I hear the music coming, a national security threat. That's what we're dealing with.
We're going to take a quick break. And be right back. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're here with Patrick Elliott, our staff attorney. We're talking with Mikey Weinstein. And we'll be right back after this break.
Nothing fails like prayer.
Hi, my name is Bob from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Geller and with our staff attorney Patrick Elliott in the studio. We're talking with Mikey Weinstein about his brand new lawsuit challenging the National Prayer Luncheon at the Academy in Colorado Springs, the Air Force Academy. And Mikey actually went to that academy, and I think your sons also, Mikey, were at that academy as well in the Air Force.
Right. My two younger sons, went there, as well as my Christian daughter-in-law, and my youngest daughter's boyfriend, soon to become a fiancé, just graduated in May. He's about to start pilot training. He's a devout Christian, actually has a tattoo of a cross on his on his chest. My brother-in-law went there. My brother went there. My dad went to the Naval Academy.
Wow,
and so,
okay.
Yeah, our family is pretty infused with military academy graduates in it.
Now, Patrick had a question he wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Back to the prayer luncheon, you're well familiar with the Rock the Fort at Fort Bragg situation. We had kind of come to learn about some of the involvement of the command there, and I'm wondering if you can give any examples of what you know that the command, that the academy itself's been involved with, as I know some people try to play it off as being part of, the chaplain's putting it on. I know you've said that the academy is heavily involved. If you have any examples of how they're supporting this.
Yeah, first of all, the Rock the Fort thing was a complete and total disaster in every possible way. That was when you take a look at the amount of time, money, effort, and taxpayer dollars that went into that, it was a clear, wretched perversion, putrescent, wretched perversion of the Constitution.
Yeah, we agree.
In every possible way. We tried to stop it. We were prepared. Listen to this. I don't know if you know this. Our lawyers in Texas had prepared the motion to stop it with an injunction. We needed local counsel in North Carolina, where Fort Bragg is, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Shame on them. 392. That's the number of lawyers we went through in North Carolina, all of whom were too terrified to be local counsel. Shame on you, North Carolina Bar. Shame on you.
But so tell us about the involvement of the military officials at the academy in your lawsuit now.
Well, I mean, where do I start? I mean, you can click on an invitation that when you click on it, it opens up, and it's you have the logo of the Air Force Academy there. A base-wide, an installation. Remember, the academies, West Point, Annapolis, and the Air Force Academy are actually military installations. So the superintendent is the three-star admiral, the three-star general at West Point, the three-star general at the Air Force Academy. They're dual-hatted both as the university president and the commander. So when the 10th Air Base Wing commander, who works for the three-star, sends it out on his commander's letterhead. Well, what do you think the message is there? Gee, if I don't go, because even the mere tacit nuance in the military can completely destroy your career. So the concept is, hey, you don't have to come, but it's a wonderful thing. And we have of our 222 clients, many were told we expect you to be there. We support this. It's been around for many years. It's wonderful. And then, of course, you're going to bring in Cleve McClary, who's going to proselytize you. His message is one of incredible divisiveness and making sure you understand one thing and one thing only. If you do not accept his version of militant, weaponized Christianity, that's totally fine, as long as you don't mind being lit up like a 4th of July firecracker, because you're going to burn eternally in the fires of hell. But you know what? As he says, you can either be a fool for Jesus or a fool for someone else. What kind of fool are you? I'd rather be a fool for the U.S. Constitution, personally.
Now, so the commander, the superintendent of the schools, basically chose
Michael Gould, yes.
McClary.
For anybody that wants to write him to express your anger, listen carefully, grab a pen. Dan will sing a song when we say, get a pen and paper. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. It's Mike.Gould, G-O-U-L-D, at USAFA, which just stands for U.S. Air Force Academy. That's U-S as in Sam, A, F as in fire truck, A, .edu. Mike.Gould, G-O-U-L-D, at USAFA, that's USAFA, .edu.
And he works for us.
You want to stand up for the Constitution.
That man works for us, the taxpayers, the citizens.
He doesn't work. He works for us. He took an oath not to this right wing version of my way or the highway Christianity, but to the U.S. Constitution, under which Christianity has no special legal significance, but it's entitled to the same rights as any other faith, including pure, unadulterated atheism or agnosticism.
And Mikey, before you filed this lawsuit, you had said that Mike Gould should step down because he had promoted McCleary to be the speaker.
Correct. Correct. I've changed my mind now. He shouldn't step down. He should be fired.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Well, yep. Fat chance, huh?
I think it's unlikely that you're going to see that because the minds of the maniacs that got us into this out-of-control fundamentalist Christian tsunami, this imperious fascistic contagion of out-of-control fundamentalist Christian triumphalism are not the same minds that will get us out of it, Annie Laurie.
And we have never gotten any help from the head of our military, the head of the Pentagon. Why not? Why don't we get somewhere with
him? Let me try to explain it. I know it sounds conspiratorial, but it's not. It's because just like what Eisenhower warned about in his famous farewell speech, his most famous speech of his 8 years, which is warning America about what? The military-industrial complex, because you're fighting up against a fundamentalist Christian para-church military corporate proselytizing complex. We know the enemy. We know them well. You know, SFRF has to fight all over the place. We fight with laser-like precision on the Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force. So this is what we do. It's the law of large numbers. We have almost 22,000 clients now that are active duty U.S. Marines, sailors, soldiers, airmen, cadets, midshipmen, reserve and National Guardsmen, Coast Guardsmen, and veterans. And get this, 96% are practicing Protestants and Catholics.
It's the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. What's the webpage?
It's www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org.
But, Mikey, what about the Secretary of Defense? How do we hold his feet to the fire? Is he one of these fanatical evangelicals?
No, we don't know where Gates really is, but I'm going to quote to you Gray's Law at this point. Gray's Law posits that any sufficiently advanced incompetence is completely indistinguishable from malice. So whether it's an act of omission or commission, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We're fighting an organization. Like I said, Al-Qaeda is a floating cloud on the internet. The Taliban, the Mujahideen, the insurrectionists, the jihadists, they've cast this as a war of Jesus versus Allah, or a war of crusade versus jihad, a cosmic war, if you will. We lose that war. We cannot be viewed as the 10th incarnation of the prior 9 versions of the crusades, which is exactly the way we look. And you know why? Because we are.
Well, Mikey Weinstein, we really appreciate your working us into your schedule. We know you're waiting for news on the injunction, and we're talking about the Military Religious Freedom Foundation's new lawsuit trying to stop a prayer luncheon put on by the Air Force Academies. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mikey. We also want to thank our producer and engineer, Brian Tarani, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio if you want to hear all of our past shows or if you want to sign up for the podcast.
And also thank you, Patrick, for joining us today in studio and for all your work.
Glad to be here.
You can ask for more information. You can support Patrick's work, our work for separation of church and state, getting religion out of the military at ffrf.org. You can phone 1-800-335-4021 for more information. You can join. You can ask for information at our website. We'd love to have you with us, and tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Thank you to God for making me an atheist.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.